In the Word of God with me this morning, please, to the book of Proverbs and Proverbs 31, the last of the collection of Proverbs. Proverbs 31, and I'll begin our scripture reading this morning with verse 10. Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands take hold of the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let us bow for prayer this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that when we come here as a congregation, we have something to talk about. When we come into this place as a body of believers joining for public worship, we don't come talking about the current events or talking about the things going on around us, though those things often are relevant to the Word of God, and the Word of God is always relevant to them. Yet, Lord, as we come to this place, we come to study the Word of God. We come not desiring to hear the ideas or philosophies of man, but, Lord, we come rather desiring that the Holy Spirit would teach us the truth of Christ in the Word. And Father, that through the working, the washing of the Spirit through the Word, through your working in our hearts through the Word, we may be improved by grace. We come desiring that when we walk out of these doors, we would be more like Christ. That when we leave our worship together, we would have drawn closer to Thee, and been fed not with the husk of the world around us, like the prodigal son, but, Lord, rather have been fed with the manna from on heaven. May we taste and see that the Lord is good. May we drink deeply of the well of salvation. And, Lord, may you edify your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I love good literature. I minored in English in college because I enjoy literature, but also because it was the easiest minor to finish. And I think there's a few others of us that probably minored in English in college for that reason. But I love good literature. The first line of any book, the first chapter of any book, is often the most important. Who could match the literary quality of "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth"? And yet the last line and the last chapter of books are often of equal importance as the first. "Behold, I come quickly." This book of Proverbs begins with Solomon, the son of David, giving instruction to his son. If you look at the 8th verse of chapter 1, it is, "My son, hear instruction." And this last chapter of Proverbs is the prophecy of a mother to her son. Now, I began with verse 10 of the chapter, and from verse 10 through the end of the chapter, we have this glorious ode of praise to a godly woman, to a godly mother. But to understand the background behind this hymn of praise to the virtuous woman, we have to look at the first part of the chapter, which is the last part of the book of Proverbs. And so go with me to the verses that I bypassed in our reading, to verse 1 of Proverbs 31. "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? What, the son of my vows?" Now, who is King Lemuel? We don't hear of him before this in Scripture, and we don't find him again. The liberal commentators will tell us that this was some other man, that it wasn't written by Solomon. I believe with all my heart. And the Jewish rabbins agree that Lemuel is indeed Solomon. They are one and the same. And yet, why is it that when he gives this law that was given to him by his mother, that he refers to himself as Lemuel? This could not be another of the Hebrew kings if it were not Solomon, because we know who all the Hebrew kings were, both of the northern and the southern kingdom. We have the list, we have the chronicles, we have the book of Kings. How many of you had a name that your mother called you that nobody else called you? I see some hands. And some of us maybe had a name that our mother called us that anybody else called us that, we'd punch them. You know, they'd get a cold cock for it. Because mothers have pet names, tender names for their children. The name Solomon means blessed or blessed. The name Lemuel means belonging to God or dedicated to God or from God. Now, as we go down through this passage, in the 3rd verse, it says, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor the ways," give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways unto that which destroyeth kings. And the critics would say, oh, these could never be the words of Bathsheba. She wouldn't have the nerve to warn her son about a woman because Bathsheba was an adulteress. Bathsheba was not a virtuous woman. She was not faithful to her husband. She had a child out of wedlock. But I believe what we have here in Solomon, as he begins to give this great hymn of praise to his mother, and before doing so, he recounts the inspired prophecy that his mother gave to him. We have here a glorious and a wondrous picture of grace. For indeed, Bathsheba was an adulterous woman. And David, her second husband, along with her. And so it's fitting that King David would call Solomon, Solomon, which means peace. Because David had found peace with God. You see, David and Bathsheba paid a horrible price for their sin. There was a son to that union before Solomon. And we don't know his name because he didn't live to his seventh day. And the Jewish boys were given their name on the seventh day at their circumcision. And that child perished. And I believe many of us, and myself included, know the horrible grief and pain of a miscarriage or of losing a child. And this is certainly not to say that losing a child is a judgment from God. I don't mean to imply that at all. And yet we know from Scripture in the case of David and Bathsheba that it was indeed God's judgment on them for their sin. And so David, having confessed his sin and having found peace with God in spite of the fact that he had wronged the righteousness of God, when this child is born, he calls him Solomon. God has showed me his peace. I call my son Solomon. But the Bathsheba, in her repentance, she calls him Lemuel. Oh God, you've given me another son. And just as Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord, so I dedicate this child to you. He belongs to you. He is dedicated to you. He is your own. I call him Lemuel. And so, when Paul is giving condemnation upon the sins of people, he says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 through 11, "Know ye not that no unrighteousness shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." And so David and Bathsheba, having committed adultery, having gone against God's law, and having paid a terrible price for their sin, now they found peace with God. God has given them another son. And this son who represents the peace of God, and this son who by his mother is dedicated to the service of God, will take the kingdom of Israel to heights it never knew under David. It will take it to its glory to the point that the Queen of Sheba will come and stand speechless because she cannot declare all the glory and the wisdom of the kingdom of Samuel. You see, God can take the adulteress and he can make her the virtuous woman. God can take the vilest sinner and transform them by his marvelous grace into that which is glorious. Ah, yes, our sins and our failings leave our scars. And many of us carry within our spirits the wound, the injury that our sin brought about within us. And yet, God's not finished with me yet. God can use the wounded creature because God makes the sinner into a new creature. And God can take his woe-begotten child, God can take his sinning servant and make them again for his glory and for his praise. And so, it's a glorious thing when we find Solomon here called Lemuel. And look at the instruction that his mother gives to him. Look at this divine prophecy. "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways unto that which destroyeth kings." Solomon didn't obey his mother's law. He had many wives, and his wives turned his heart away from God. It is not for kings, verse 4, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Remember when the two mothers brought the living child and the dead child? Lemuel, my son, don't allow your judgment to be clouded that you might give right judgment. But rather, verse 6, give strong drink to them unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto him that is of a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of such as be appointed unto destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. That is the instruction that is given to Lemuel, that is given to Solomon, excuse me. Now, the balance of the chapter, obviously, is where we're going. I've told you before, I have long introductions into every passage, and yet I believe it's fundamental to understand the background, the context, before we go into the passage itself. Who can find a virtuous woman? She is of great price. She is of great value. Her price is better than rubies. Did you ever look for something rare? Did you ever look for something important? Young men, the most important thing you ever find in life is a good wife. And this book of Proverbs is written to the young men, chapter 1, verse 8, my son. And it is written to the young ladies, and to the middle-aged ladies, and to the older ladies, and to the men as well. It's applicable to all of us. This is the virtuous woman. In chapter 12, verse 14, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness to his bones. And in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord. You see, that which is common, that which can be found on every street corner, is not valued. But who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Men, if you're married to a virtuous woman, don't be churlish. I probably will preach on the churlish husband on Father's Day, so your day is coming. God has blessed any man who has a virtuous woman, a virtuous wife. God has blessed any son who can say of his mother, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. There is on the one hand something to be sought after by the young man, and there is on the other hand a standard to be attained by the young lady. In Proverbs 19, verse 14, we read, "The house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." And so first of all, we see the value of a virtuous woman. But also in this chapter, we find the faithfulness of the virtuous woman. Look with me down to verses 11 and 12. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." She will do him good. The virtuous woman is not a waster of resources. She's not wasteful, but she's frugal in what she does. The proof of that is he shall have no need of spoil. He's not having to go about all the time trying to make ends meet because his wife is a waster. The virtuous woman does not plot against her husband or take the part of others in conflict. The heart of her husband can safely trust in her. She does not betray her husband in adversity. She is not unfaithful to him. She does not abandon or forsake him. She is truly married to him for better and for worse. Because the virtuous woman is not a waster, her husband does not have to engage in risky business to provide for the family. Notice it says that he shall have no need of a spoil. How was spoil obtained in the day that this was written? Well, the men had to go out to war and take it. But this man, he has no need of spoil because the way in which his wife guards the finances and watches the pennies and is faithful within her responsibility in the home, her husband safely trusts in her. But then we find also that the virtuous woman is a very energetic individual. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. Did you ever hear somebody say, well, there's nothing to do? Well, she's seeking wool and flax. She's looking out for things to do. She's looking, how can I contribute to the home? How can I be a provider? Yes, my husband is the provider in the home, but how can I be involved in this? And then she worketh willingly with her hands. Look at verse 19. She layeth her hand to the spindle and taketh hold of the distaff. Her industry is not simply of necessity, but she's willingly contributing to the income and the well-being of the home. She's not neglected to work. No one has to encourage her. And I think the example of this is that of Ruth. Remember Ruth in chapter 2 and verse 2, and Ruth the Moabitess said, "Let me now go to the field." It wasn't Naomi saying, "Look, we're about to starve, Ruth. Can you go out there and glean some grain?" But Ruth herself, "Let me go. I'll go out in the field. Let me be part of that provision." But we find also that not only is her work energetic, but her work's well done. She doesn't do things halfway. Look at verse 18 of the chapter. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She doesn't do her work halfway. She doesn't do her work in a way which, well, you know, take it or leave it, I think the lady down the streets is a little bit better. But no, she does her work well. She does it to the best of her ability. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. We read in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do you realize that mopping a floor and washing clothes and changing babies? I always said I live by the 5D rule. Daddy doesn't do dirty diapers. I did them. But everything we do, you know, I think a lot of times our ladies begin to feel like their life is mundane because, you know, if God's blessed you to be a housewife and just working in the house. No. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Everything we do is a service to the Lord. If you are a plumber, fixing pipe is a service to the Lord. If you're a carpenter, driving nails is a service to the Lord. If you're a mechanic, turning bolts is a service to the Lord. You see, as children of God, we think about the service of the Lord that we do as far as witnessing and caring for the poor. But whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You see, Bathsheba, from all appearances, was a very attentive mother. She was taking care of her son. She was training him up in the way he should go, just as Lois and Eunice. And so, Solomon can say of his mother, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We find also that her energy is demonstrated in her habits. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night. She's up before the sun. She's waking up the roosters in the morning. She riseth while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 18. There's no laziness here. Look at verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Oh, wow. What can we do with that one in our modern age? I don't think any of us send out our ships. But I would say she was a coupon clipper. She knows where the good sale is. If she can get them at a good price, not that she's wasting gas running here and there, but she works this thing out. Her husband has other responsibilities. But she's got the old Plymouth Voyager, her ship, on the road. She's buying the merchandise. She's caring for those things in the home. She girdeth, verse 17, her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She is not becoming weak through idleness, but she's busy all the time. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it. She delivereth guerdons to the merchants. She's a lady of commerce. She is financially contributing to the home. She's involved in making girdles and making clothes and selling all these things. Maybe she would do baked goods as well, or canned goods in some way. She's involved in the finances of the home. But then we find also that this virtuous woman is a woman of great compassion. Look with me at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. She reacheth forth her hand to the needy. And it doesn't appear that she's just waiting there for the poor to find her, but she's stretching out her hand for them. In other words, she may not even be waiting till someone asks. She's observing the needs around her, and she's trying to help wherever she can. She's involved. She's compassionate. All the work and commerce that she engages in is not simply to provide extra for her family, but I believe it is also that she might have extra to provide for others. Verse 17. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath given will he repay him again. Let me read that verse again, because my eyes skipped on it there. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he giveth will he repay again. In other words, what that verse is basically saying is that God declares himself to be the debtor of those that give to the poor. God says those that lend to the poor, the Lord will be the debtor. He will repay. God will repay it. You cannot outgive the Lord. And this virtuous woman, she stretches forth her hand to the poor. She's concerned about the needy around her. And again in Proverbs 29 and verse 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Psalm 41 verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the Lord. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The purpose of Christian industry. Why is it that we are to be a diligent, hardworking people? Well, Paul points out the change in the man who has been made a new creature in Christ in Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor with his hands, working that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so, we are to care for the poor. But this book of Proverbs gives us also the contrast of those that do not care for the poor, that do not follow this example of the virtuous woman. Proverbs 14, verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his neighbor, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Those that oppress the poor, they reproach God, their maker. But those that have pity on the poor, they honor their maker. And again, Proverbs 21, verse 13, "Whoso stoppeth up his ear at the cry of the poor, he also himself shall not be heard." We often thought about this verse when we were in Jamaica, because every time we went into Savannah Lamar, into the town, there were beggars and there were people asking. And we couldn't help everyone. What do? You can't stop up your ears at the cry of the poor. How easy it is to come off 95 up in Philadelphia, where there's always a bunch of guys standing there at the side of the road, and roll your windows up because you don't want to hear them. May God give us grace to have compassion for the poor. But then we find, fifthly, that this virtuous woman is a woman with confidence. She's a woman that shows confident womanhood. She knows her value. She knows her God, and she conducts herself with confidence. Verse 30, or 21 and 22 of Proverbs 31. "She is not afraid of snow." You know, why would she be afraid of snow? Well, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household's clothed. In other words, she has conducted herself in such a way that when the snow falls, well, it's snowing outside, but everything's in order. It's not time to fall apart. Not time to panic. We're ready for this. My family has clothes. We have food stored. We have our provisions. She's a woman of confidence. She's a woman whose life is well ordered. "She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is of silk and of purple." But look at verse 23. "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." Because of the quality of this virtuous woman, her husband is honored. Her husband is respected. Now, my father once said publicly that in spite of all Joe's limitations, he found a good wife. And that really bothered me. But the older I get, the more right I realize he was. In spite of all my limitations, the Lord has given me the right wife. He's given me a good wife. You see, the virtuous woman is a woman of confidence. And when the husband gets a little bit scared, her confidence is there. Oh, yes, the husband's to be the comforter. Don't misunderstand, guys. Father's Day is coming. You'll get your turn. But a godly, confident wife is the greatest asset that any man could have. And because of the quality of the virtuous woman, her husband is known in the gates. Oh, yeah. There's the husband of that lady who makes the scarlet and the wool. Yeah, there's the husband of that woman that is so industrious and so hardworking. She's a woman of confidence, a woman of poise. She's a wise woman. She's not a silly woman. She's a wise woman. Look at verse 26. "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Ah, she speaks well. She speaks with intelligence. Where does that come from? Go back to the beginning of the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the cure? Forgive me for saying it. What is the cure for the dizzy blonde? It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that takes a young lady and makes her a woman of wisdom. That takes a young lady and makes her a woman of poise and confidence. A woman who knows how to speak well. A woman who knows how to engage with the merchants. A woman who knows how to be an asset to her household. And a woman whose husband is praised in the gates, because she's a godly woman. It all goes back to the fear of the Lord. This virtuous woman is a woman of wisdom. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. The opposite is found in the book of Proverbs as well. In Proverbs 11, verse 22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. Guys, when you're looking for a wife, don't look at the makeup. What lies beneath? You know, they put a ring in a pig's nose. They used to. It's considered cruelty today, and I guess it is. But they would put a ring in the pig's nose. Well, put a diamond jewel and a gold ring in the pig's nose. It's still a pig. The old saying, you can put lipstick on a pig, but I wouldn't kiss it. Well, it's still a pig. But here, this virtuous woman, she's a wise woman. She is a crown to her husband. In Proverbs 9, verse 13 through 18, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of the house on the seat of the high place of the city to call to the passersby that go by on their way. Who is simple? Let him turn in thither. But then we find, finally, that this virtuous woman is rewarded. She is rewarded for her godly virtue. Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Ah, she is clothed with strength. She's a strong woman. We're not saying women are supposed to be, you know, shut up and get in the kitchen. By any means. No, God wants godly women to be strong women, to carry themselves with poise. She is honor is her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessing, or blessed, her husband also, and she shall be praised. Many daughters, verse 29, have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Ladies, do you want honor? Do you want respect? The Word of God shows you where to find it. But there's a final praise there in verse 30 and 31. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, we've taken this passage, and we've seen the foundation of it in a mother who had made many mistakes, but had found grace and favor with God. We've seen the way her son describes her as the virtuous woman. And yet, I believe there is a more significant application to this passage that I want us to consider in closing. The church is the bride of Christ. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. In effect, we could say that Jesus Christ came to earth seeking a bride. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Do you remember how Christ described the kingdom of God? As a treasure hid in the field. As a pearl of great price. And when the merchant discovers the pearl of great price, he sells everything that he might obtain that pearl. Jesus Christ has espoused us to himself as his bride. We sing that old hymn, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. And in Revelation 19, verses 6 and 7, we read, "And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And let us be glad and rejoice and give him honor, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." We can look at this Proverbs 31, and we can say, "Oh, that's what you should be. That's what you should be." And the men can say, "Well, I'm not a woman to begin with, so it doesn't apply to me." But Proverbs 31 is the description of what the church ought to be. It is the description of the bride of Christ. And we, as God's people, daily should conform ourselves to it. Because it is our responsibility to care for the poor. It is our responsibility to speak forth the law, because that's what it says, the law is in her lips. We speak forth the law of God. And our God, our Savior, should be known in the gates of our nation, because His church is a light, a city that can set on a hill that cannot be hid. Oh, may God make us a virtuous woman. He has cleansed us. He has purchased us with His own blood. May we be daily conformed into what we ought to be. May our lives be molded by the virtuous woman, that we might have a testimony for our God, for our husband. For in Isaiah 54, we read these verses, and I'll conclude with this. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 5, and then verse 17. "Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break forth unto singing, and cry aloud, thou didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." That's speaking of Israel, and unfortunately we don't have time to go into all the ins and outs there. "Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen the cords, and strengthen the stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles." There's the first reference to the church. "Make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." And that's the same chapter that has the passage, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." Let me go to one more passage, Isaiah 66, and verses 6 through 8. "A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she hath brought forth her children." Ah, every mother here has gone through the process of pregnancy. Typically 9 months, but we've had some early babies recently. But consider the birth of the church. The time of Christ. Explosively born. 3,000 saved in a day. And the church of Jesus Christ, that new birth, that new creation, that bride espoused to the husband, grew and grew and multiplied and evangelized. Ah, my friends,
May God make us the virtuous woman. Let us stand for prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the glorious depth, Lord, that we can always dig deeper. That there's always some new nuance, new piece of information, new hidden treasure. Lord, that not of any scriptures of any private interpretation, and yet, Father, we always find it rich and new and alive and fresh. Bless it to our hearts this morning. Father, make Pilgrim Presbyterian Bible Church to be a godly lighthouse, a godly testimony that our God may be known in the gates of Kingsville. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.